So let's bow our heads for a prayer. I will ask God to dwell with me as I speak, and his words would come through today. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, it is with open hearts and open minds that we come here into your presence to learn, to grow, and to apply the truth to our lives. Lord, we recognize and understand that many things that we do and participate in our lives, in fact, trip us up and make us falter. We want your spirit to come in. We want to receive your holiness, and we want to not touch the unclean thing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to just start off before I even get into the slides and all that. I'm just going to touch on the Bible specifically first, and then we'll get into the presentation. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 to 14. Those of you who are listening today and you want to take notes for your own study, I'm going to mention a couple of texts. I'm also going to give you some extra biblical reading. Great Controversy, chapter 32, 33, and 34 are three chapters that are very important on this topic. I'll touch on that after we read Deuteronomy here. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 to 14. When you are come into the land, that is the Canaan, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations or evil practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect or entirely obedient with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken or listen unto the observers of times, unto their diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. That was written right into their own law when they were, before they were about to come into the land of Canaan. And so our story about this is touching on witchcraft. And it's got many forms and fashions. It's all generally the same thing. Witchcraft, wizardry, occult, demons, crystals. You know, we're going to keep going here. Crystals, crystal balls, seances, celestial wheels, pentagrams, trinkets, amulets, inks. You guys could probably think of a whole bunch of charms. What do you call those, spirit catchers, communicating with the dead? It just goes on and on and on and on. Voodoo, it's unbelievable how, what do you call those Ouija boards? And those ladies who they talk to, they have those mediums, spiritists. You can phone them on the phone. You can talk to them on the phone. There is a plethora of this stuff that is going on, and it is in your face every single day. You can't look on your phone on Google News without getting the horoscope. You can't read the newspaper without the horoscope. And what is the horoscope? Astrology? That's different from astronomy. Astrology. And, you could just go on and on this all day long, because we are literally bombarded with it. So the story I saw here was from Saul and his experience of actually going to a witch. This is the ruler of the children of Israel, the king, the highest authority over the people. And the reason why he, in fact, went to this witch is because God stopped speaking to him. He had destroyed his relationship with God so far gone that he could no longer hear God's voice. That's a scary, scary place to be. So he's seeking a voice to hear. So we have the story here. It came to pass, this is 1 Samuel chapter 28. It came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight against Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Interesting little backstory, but at this point it says Samuel was dead. Now Samuel was the prophet of Israel. He was the one who had been speaking for God for the children of Israel. Now that is, you could say a prophet is a medium in some sense. He is the person who is being used by God to speak to his people. And he died. And Israel lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. So there was a time in Saul's past where he had actually done the right thing and cast those people out of Israel. They were the ones who were left in the land when they conquered. As you may remember the story, when Joshua went through the land and destroyed, he told each of the tribes to go conquer their lands, and certain of the tribes said, No, we won't. They're too mighty for us. They're too scary. They're too big. And so they just dwelt alongside them. They just dwelt in the land alongside them. And those particular nations were a continual prick, a thorn in the flesh for Israel. And this is one of those cities, one of those towns is from one of those places where they did not drive the inhabitants out like God had commanded. So, and the Philistines, verse 4, gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled. Why? He's all alone. Even though he had a multitude of men, the Lord is not with him. And when God is not with you, you will fall on your face before your enemies. You will go out and try to make things happen in your life. You will try to have things go right in your life. But when you're betraying God through your actions and through your mind and through your sinfulness, you will fall down. You can't stand. The enemy knows how to destroy us. And so when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, neither by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Now, I did a little research. The Urim, and we all know what dreams are. God speaks through dreams. God speaks through people that he calls prophets. And he also used to speak through something that the priest had called the Urim and the Thurim. Thurman. I can't even pronounce it properly. Urim and Thurman. And this was something. On their breastplate of the priest, he had the breastplate and it had 12 stones with writing on them, and it represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And when they were in the most holy place, or in the holy place, they would receive from God direction specifically upon certain issues. And those stones would brighten up and cast a message, and they would understand the will of the Lord. Now, that is not practiced anymore. And I know that they're probably trying to reinstate that because they don't accept Christ and they want to bring the sacrificial system back, but let's move past that. That's not practiced anymore, and so Saul has no method or means to communicate with God. Well, one spirit's as good as the next, so just get me anybody who can talk to these people. Now, we've read that from our scripture reading. I'm just going to phrase the story. Saul, he disguises himself and goes to this witch of Endor. Interesting thing about the word Endor, it is a planet in Star Wars where those little Ewok creatures live. Why would they name it Endor? Further than that, a lot of our media and our movies and pop culture like to add biblical names of satanic things into the movies. You guys have maybe heard of the god Molech, the one that had the cauldron of fire that they would throw their babies into to ask for a good harvest. Molech is also in Star Wars. I wonder if they're trying to get a message across. Saul disguises himself. He goes to the seance ritual in Endor, which was in Manasseh, of one of the tribes where they didn't drive the inhabitants out. And she doesn't want to do it right away because she knows that she could be put to death for doing this, but he swears by the name of the Lord. It sounds like it's so backwards. Isn't that confusing? I'm going to swear by God's name that I can do this evil deed, and it's just so backwards. And so she does the ritual, and in surety, a spirit comes up wearing a mantle, which is a large overhanging cloak which covers the whole body, kind of like what you see the dark Sith Lord in Star Wars wear, if you know what I'm referring to. He's wearing a mantle. And he speaks with Saul, and he tells him things that don't comfort him, basically. Saul is trying to receive a message so that he can go to war and win the battle. Well, in the war, when he goes to battle, he loses. And in his disgrace, he instead of fighting courageously, he decides to commit suicide by falling upon his own sword. It's a very painful story to read. That brings out a reality about spiritualism, that spirits are there, they are communicated with, and God's people are mixed up in them. Okay, so let's move on. I'm going to move into our presentation. It says here, can we talk to the dead? Can we talk to the dead? Do they know what is happening in the world? Friends, don't get trapped. Don't be lied to. We cannot talk to the dead. Okay? We're going to learn how to avoid the spirit world connections and begin to hear the truth through God's prophetic word. This question covers other topics as well, such as death, talking to the dead, hell, heaven, purgatory, the state of the dead. All of these things are interesting that are part of this discussion. It's noted that many of us in the world today, if you think about it, we're scared of dying, aren't we? But everyone faces death in the world. Every day, people from every nation and tribe around the world, somebody will experience death. It doesn't matter what your background is. So, spiritualism deals with the subject of death. And the advocates, as you see in this picture, you're looking at a Ouija board, seances, these pictures of ghosts or people that have reanimated, I guess you would call it. There's two definitions. This one comes from the dictionary. Spiritism or spiritualism is a theory that mediumistic phenomena are caused by the spirits of the dead. Webster's dictionary, spiritism, that there is a phenomena caused by the spirits of the dead. So the dictionary calls it a theory. But we'll see that there's another definition from the Spiritist Manual. Spiritualism is a science, philosophy, and religion of continuous life. Note, continuous life. Here we see that this religion, this philosophy, is teaching on a continuous life. It attracts people from all walks of life in the world. Rich, poor, smart, simple, and teaches that the dead do not die when they die. Here's a picture of Time magazine of a man who is named Bishop Pike, bishop meaning a leader of a church congregation. His son committed suicide, and he was upset about that and wanted to continue talking with his son. And so on live TV, And Mr. Ford, his medium, psychic, whatever he is, had this seance on television where this man, Mr. Ford, was the one speaking on behalf of his dead son. It's interesting that that would be televised to the world. It shows us that things like that take place. I don't want to show the next picture, but we're going to stop there for a second. Harry Potter, I'm going to mention a few other things. Harry Potter, Pokemon, anime. You know, there's a whole plethora. I haven't watched TV like this, watched these things for a long time, but kids' cartoons, movies, Avengers, Iron Man. You can fill in the blanks. Video games, music, they all have things that have been blended into them to create, to show, to replicate, to seduce, to put into the minds, our minds, without us being aware or acknowledging or thinking about it. You think of, and I only know this because I've seen it, one of the Avengers movies, they actually carry out a sacrificial ritual in the movie where they sacrifice a living person in order to gain some power. There, in Pokemon, there's wizards and there's ghosts and there's mediums and all sorts of spiritual things, and they're feeding that to children in this show. There, in Harry Potter, they dress up like this very high, prestigious, private school, college for wizards and witches, and make it this act of learning. And it is completely satanic. And music, you think of like techno, trance. Why would they give it the name trance? Because you're going into a trance so that you could be injected with whatever. If you turn your brain off, then they can just put whatever they want into your brain. And they can brainwash you. We haven't got there yet, but we're talking about the spirit realm. We're talking about the fallen angels, Lucifer, and the demons who are that we are at war with. We don't see them. We don't talk to them, but they are there. And they are controlling this world. And they're trying to deceive us. Our entertainment is bombarded constantly with this, and we need to be careful. Here's a picture of people. It looks like they're praying, but they're not. They're praying to the wrong spirit, right? When we pray, if you guys notice that, actually, when we carry out our rituals, our cultural Christian things, it includes talking to God, who we don't see. It includes getting knowledge from God that derived not from human means, but through the Word, through His spoken Word. And so it's very similar, isn't it? You would almost call it a counterfeit, right? A counterfeit is something that appears to be the original, but it's not. It's a distortion of the original. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So when you die, you really die. Ecclesiastes 9:5, the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. The dead know nothing. They don't know anything. That means the dead are not telling you anything. They're not communicating with you anything because they don't know anything according to God's word. We can see that this counteracts the notion that when you're dead or when you are talking to the dead, that you're talking to a dead person, but you're not. Who are the spirits that we are talking to? And this goes back to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. The Bible paints a picture in the early creation about the fall of humanity. Genesis 3:1, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Here we find that Satan is speaking to Eve in the garden through a medium or an in-between called the serpent. The serpent was a creation, by the way, that God had made perfect. It was beautiful. And apparently it had legs or something, maybe wings, we don't know. And it was amazing. And it was not allowed or able or created with the ability to talk. But something was talking through it. And that something was Lucifer. And he had an agenda. And his agenda was to deceive, to overthrow, and to destroy. The next verse in Genesis 3:2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. I'm going to stop here for a second. Eve actually added to God's word. At that point, he never said that if you touch it, you would die. And the interesting thing, and I really wish that we could show you this, but if you read Great Controversy, chapters 32, 33, and 34, it opens this story right up. When you add to God's word, or when you take away from God's word, you're on dangerous ground. Right? Now, she's looking at a serpent holding the fruit, eating the fruit, but he's not dead. Whoa. Contradicting her mind a little. Eve knew the instructions of God. However, the insinuating question raised by the serpent caused her to doubt the validity of God's instructions. Notice the serpent's reply to Eve's affirmation of God's statement concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in Genesis 3:4. You will not surely die, he said. Here's the original deception. Lucifer is telling her that you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan told the lie, and people have been believing it ever since, that a person, when they die, don't really die, that they go to the shadow realm, heaven, hell, purgatory, whatever it may be. It's all a deception, okay? And he also says that you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, they knew evil, that's for sure, and they regretted it. It wasn't this thing. We could go on that a lot more, but we're going to keep going here. This spiritist, E.W. Sprague, says that spiritualism teaches us that the dead actually know more than the living. And that the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." In this and many other Bible passages, the devil told the truth. And the Lord is in error. Interesting quote. Do these guys know who they're dabbling with? Do they know who they're serving? Completely out of harmony with God's word. It is regrettable or unfortunate to see prominent clergymen of popular churches endorse philosophy of spiritualism. Norman Vincent Peale, I don't know him, but this slide says that he stated both the sides of death, life and death, have an unbroken fellowship. All the facts point to a continued existence of our loved ones. We shall be united with them. Meanwhile, we continue to fellowship with those who dwell in the spirit world. I'm going to give you a summary of what spiritualism is in common English, the best I can attempt to do, as I've heard. Spiritualism, or when we get involved in this type of thing, is an attempt by an individual to gain knowledge, but not through experience or reason. Okay, think about that for a second. You're gaining knowledge from who? Not God, not through your own experience, not through using your mind, but something's injecting the knowledge into you from an outside source, and it's not from God. Gaining knowledge through fallen angels, devils, and demons. Spiritualism is accepted and practiced in many of churches today, actually, and is alarming in light of the Bible truth. However, to fully understand the claims and practices of spiritualism, we must find out what the Bible teaches on the subject of death. Since death is the exact opposite of life, it will be helpful to understand how God created humanity and how life was given at the beginning. Okay, so we have here Genesis 2:7. The Bible reads, "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground." So here's our first component, dust of the earth. That is the physical material elements, the compounds that he used to create the human being. And he made them in his own image. He had a brain, he had a heart, he had a body. However, it was not working yet because there was another piece missing. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man then became a living being. So it took a unity of the body plus the life from God, and we became a living being. The word being there in the Old English is soul. So if you read King James, it'll read man became a living soul. So there's three things that we're talking about here. We're talking about a body, a physical body, the breath of life, which comes from God, and together they make a soul, a complete unit. And so if we use our reasoning, we reverse the process. body minus the spirit equals dead. Okay, so if your body is damaged or destroyed in some way, you die. If God chooses to remove the breath of life from you, which is referred to as the spirit, you also die. So there's an interesting thing. There's some words that we would understand, but the Bible is translated here. If we read the Greek version of the Bible, there's three words: body, soul, and spirit. Body, meaning soma in Greek. We can all understand body. Spirit in Greek is pneuma. Pneuma as in pneumatic, which means breath, wind, vapor, kind of that type of thing. And you remember in the Bible, Jesus breathed on his disciples. He breathed on them. Receive ye the Spirit. So the last one is soul. The word soul is where we get the word psychology, psyche. And that is your individuality. You have character traits. You have a personality. That's your psyche. That's your soul, right? We'll get into that a little bit. It may surprise you. Okay, we went through this, the breath. David makes this fact clear. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Psalms 104:29. That's logical, right? If we were using biblical understanding, removing the breath, the body dies. The Apostle James also presents this, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Interesting correlation there. Ecclesiastes 9:5, we read that earlier. For the living know that they will die, but the dead do not know anything, and they have no reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Friends, whom shall we believe? Okay, so let's put this into practice. What should we believe more? God's word? Or television, movies, internet, video games, newspapers, magazines, schools, government? I don't know if we can keep going on. Your boss, your friends, your aunt, your cousin, your uncle, your sister, your children. Who has the authority in our life? God or not God? Okay? The Apostle Peter taught on this subject. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you about our father, patriarch David. He is dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. David did not ascend into the heavens. So this is directly in contrast to the idea that when you die, there's the idea out there that you go straight to heaven or straight to hell. So when you die, the Bible is teaching that David, when he died, didn't go straight to heaven. And you think, well, if anybody was loved by God and good, and he's got books written about him in the Bible, why wouldn't he be in heaven right after he died? Because that's not the truth about God's word. That's just something that mankind or the devil has injected into our belief system, into our culture. He is still awaiting the second resurrection. Paul teaches 2 Timothy, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. Paul is teaching this truth that there is a crown of life, eternal life, waiting for you and me. Okay, so there is such thing as eternal life. Eternal life is waiting for us. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all do what? Sleep. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet of God will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. When this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then we shall have what was brought to pass. Death is swallowed up in victory. People, Paul is teaching, Peter and Paul are both teaching that we will receive the crown of eternal life when Jesus returns the second time. We're going to stop there, but I want to give you one last analogy to make this death, soul, spirit thing understandable. You guys all have cell phones? I know you do. I do too. Cell phones has a physical structure. You take your phone out for a second and just look at it. Hold your phone up and look at it, okay? You've got a physical device, a body, okay? To run the body, it takes electricity, okay? But when the two combine, you can then use it with the software to be useful. Now, if you took the electricity away from the cell phone, what would happen? It would be dead, or a state of sleeping until the electricity put it back on. Now, if you had the body removed of the cell phone, but you could back up all the data on the cell phone on a cloud, would it all be lost? Or could you re-download it all onto a new body, a new phone? Do you guys understand how it works? So we are going to be receiving a new body when Christ returns, and we will then have eternal life. Now, while we're here in the meantime, and we have this body, he wants us to live in accordance with his plan, in accordance with his lifestyle, his will, so that we can practice eternal life right now, right? Because let's put it this way. If you were to destroy all the data and the phone and it was lost forever, that would be what death really is, okay? So long as God has the information of your psyche in his book in heaven, it says that our names are written in his book. So long as you have your name written in his book, all of your personal character is recorded and will be downloaded, put into your new body when Christ returns. Okay, I can't make it any more simpler. I think that we can all understand that. So we're going to have to wait until next time to see a little bit more. But let's put this into practice. When we go home and we're reading things, we can now interpret it in the light of God's truth. When we're watching things, we can determine, well, if they start practicing a seance in the show, or the show is named Witch This or Wizard That, we might not want to be watching that if we want to be children of God, right? Because that would contradict God's word. Now, I understand this is going to be difficult because that basically means there's a lot of things we got to not participate in. So I have to give you a little bit of hope, right? It's not just a bunch of don'ts. Jesus doesn't want you to give up anything that's good for you, right? If it was good for you to contact demons, if it was good for you to allow fallen angels to enter into your minds and into your homes and things like this, if that was good for you, Jesus would want that. But when Jesus was here, he was casting demons out. And demons did things like making people mute and deaf and throw themselves into fire and into the water to drown them. The demons had a lot of power and control. And there's even an instance where Jews who were against Paul were presumptuously trying to cast demons out in the name of Jesus. And the demons said to them, "Well, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but I don't know you." And the man overpowered them and beat them up, and they ran away naked. Don't think that you have control when you're participating with this type of stuff. You are surrendering your control when you participate in this stuff. I'm going to leave it there, but Jesus loves you. Okay, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, open our eyes that we may see the truth, that we may put away these things, Lord. Father, not by our own human strength, but we need your Spirit. We need you to come in to our lives, not the devil, but you. Come into us and possess us with truth and love that we can overcome the evil through rebellion and deceit. Lord, we thank you for the truth as it is in Jesus. We thank you for his death and resurrection from the dead, and that we too will rise from the dead if we are found in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.